Eventually, when the show gets big enough, we can afford to do some graphic things. And I was just, you know, like, I'll, if we can get a green screen and have you on Flash Gordon's spaceship speeder, the whatever the horseshoe thing he stands on that has lasers on it, and you can be blasting Dr. Pepper out of the sky. That's what I was thinking.
Sounds excellent.
Welcome to the Mox Arts Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash.
Did you laugh over top of the soundboard just
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
That's a new wrinkle, I feel like.
You know, I was just feeling it. I was like,
heard it.
Yeah. People need to know I'm a menace. And if it wasn't conveyed, I hope that did it. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Mox Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper and Don Cheadle. Don't forget the Don. Don's listening. So act right. No messing around. No fooling. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. Here's the thing about the YouTube thing. All right. Last week, I said that you can use Cursed Totem with Urza. That's just not a thing. And when I was editing, I was like, oh, no, you can't do that. And then I noticed we lost 2 subscribers not just because I said that, but I noticed it. And I was like, they probably unsubscribed because I said something stupid. And, you know, those 2 people are going to be missing out on the Mox Stars podcast now. And I feel bad for them. I really, really do.
They missed out on your mea culpa. You just apologized for offending them. And yeah. They're not here to hear it.
This guy is so stupid. Why would I listen to him? Well, I'm just a human, and making mistakes is human. And when I edited that episode, and I was like, you know what? That's absolutely wrong, but I'm keeping it anyway. I just wanted you guys to know how human I am. And so here we go. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. I said the wrong thing. You cannot use Cursed Totem with Urza. You just can't. You can also...
I mean, you can, but it won't do what you're implying.
Yeah, you know, it pretty much kills your commander. You can also support us by giving us a 5-star review on all major podcasting platforms. Makes us look super duper cool for the Don, and helps new people find the show. Super great thing you can do for us. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. You can support the show for $3 a month. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also reach out to us on the Discord server and purchase one of those sick Got Glarb hats, which if you follow us on Instagram, you would have seen this past week, but they came in. They're super sexy, and one already got shipped out. So they're flying off the shelves, folks. If you want one,
they're hopping off the shelves. They're leaping off the shelves. That's what frogs do. Frogs don't fly.
They hop.
Common misconception, but frogs do not fly. Last I checked.
It really depends. Anyway.
Hey, I just had an idea. Yeah. What about a Michigan J. Glarb bit? Is there something there?
Sell me on it.
You know, the WB singing frog?
Yeah.
Yeah, but make it Glarb. Anyway. Mention in the comments if you think that's something.
You know, you can also reach out to us at mockstarspod@gmail.com if you would like to get one of those hats as well. They're super.
Or if you want to email us about this pitch. Like if you have a story that works for Michigan J. Glarb, we want to hear it. We're here to collaborate.
Yep.
I think it has legs.
Definitely has legs. All right. On this week's episode, we've had a lot of spoilers happen. The Final Fantasy spoilers have been nothing but overwhelming. There are far too many new cards and legends and all of these things, and I don't understand all the references, but I did play Final Fantasy X, and so I understand a lot of the references because the Final Fantasy X cards are, well, they're a many. There are a many of them, which is great. I love it. But there's tons of powerful cards that we're going to get into. And then later on in the show, we're going to talk about, well, we're back at it. Mid-range in CEDH is obviously the status quo. And so we're going to be talking about some things that can still exist. Lesser known combos that are still effective and might just be slept on enough to sneak out a few dubs here and there, help you convert, get to that top 16 cut. So let's dive right in to some of these new Final Fantasy cards. Here's the thing. I think that the Mock Stars podcast, since we only record once a week, we're sort of like the Slowpoke podcast, where people have seen these cards for days now, and you've seen Reddit posts aplenty for all the people who have their big brain caps on and brewing decks for these things, and we're just behind the ball a little bit, you know. But here we are now with our Slowpoke takes on cards like Vivi Onatia, one blue and a red. Is it the new Spellslinger wizard thing? This is a pretty popular, pretty well-known legend from Final Fantasy, and like this card is insane. For zero mana, it has a zero mana activated ability that says add X mana in any combination of blue and or red, where X is Vivi Ornatier's power. Activate only during your turn and only once each turn. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Vivi Ornatier, and it deals one damage to each opponent. Wah, wah, wee, wah. That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. Like, it's add X mana in any combination is it where X is Vivi's power. And then whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you can only activate that once per turn. So it has, oh, it's limited in some way. But on your opponent's turn, you could be activating that for 3+ mana, literally in the next turn. Like it
is potentially unlimited mana and a win condition on one card.
Yeah,
with the drawback that it says once per turn.
It just gets it's so magnified in Commander. So I think that it triggering on each non-creature spell is kind of insane, right? Like any artifact, like you drop this and then you just unload your hand full of artifacts, like more mana, and keep stringing into more and more cards. This is it's in the best colors for your like Underworld Breach combos too. So that's the other thing, is that you can now create loops of casting infinite spells or infinite non-creature spells, and then Vivi's just that outlet to help you win the game. I think that's crazy. It's really just has an incredibly high floor. I haven't seen at such a low mana, like a low mana value, 3 mana. This thing, yeah, there is a good chance it comes out on turn one in most games. And when you build it to be that like CDH death machine, I think that this is something that does come out on turn one pretty regularly. So I remember back in the day when Jordan was playing Malcolm, you know, it's like if Malcolm wasn't coming down on turn one, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're not taking the right hand. So I think that when you play Vivi, unless you have a solid turn one play like a Rhystic Study, or you know, you're just going to drop a fish and keep it rolling, like Vivi better be coming down on turn two. That's for sure. You know, get your engine out, get it start moving. I think this is a kill on sight type of commander, or kill before it gets back to their turn type of commander. So yeah, this is, it's really strong. I'm really liking it. I have not brewed anything with it, but it's also very open-ended because it's just whenever you cast a non-creature spell. So that's, that's the part that I keep getting hung up on. So that doesn't trigger once each turn. It triggers whenever. So I think that's, this is a really nice card. And at Mythic, appropriately. And I think it's the first time we've seen the zero activated ability cost in a, it's been a long time. They don't throw that one out, you know, out there as much as they used to. They put tap on it now. But yeah, you don't even have to tap this creature to do it. Crazy. All right. The next card. This one has the CDH community buzzing because it does have CDH potential alongside Vivi. This is Terra, Magical Adept. So what looks like a Gruul commander, it's not. It's five colors, but it only costs one, a red, and a green for a human wizard warrior. It's a 4/2 that says when Terra enters, mill five cards. Put up to one enchantment card milled this way into your hand. Sounds pretty good. Sounds like an enchantress commander I would enjoy. But then it says something crazy. It says, four red and a green, tap, exile Terra, then return it to the battlefield transformed under its owner's control. Activate only as a sorcery. On the back, we have a legendary enchantment creature, Saga Wizard, Esper Terra. adds Esper colors to its identity because it, for on its first trigger of Saga, it says create a token that's a copy of a target non-legendary enchantment you control. It gains haste. If it's a Saga, put up to three lore counters on it. Sacrifice it at the beginning of your next end step. So notably, when this was happening, when this was spoiled, I was actually watching the stream that Wizards of the Coast was hosting, spoiling all these things. And Gavin Verhey said that this is the first time that they've allowed a player to sort of read ahead. This is the first time that they've made a card that says put and, you know, like up to three lore counters on it, right? Like that you can sort of manipulate where you want it to start, where it's going to go, and all those things. So I think, well, right
away. Does this push Tom Bombadil into fringe territory? Is this good enough?
I think this just takes over because the fourth trigger says you add two of each color of mana and then you exile it and then return it to the battlefield. So you can then just use the mana to activate and flip it again. Or wait, no, because it would need to not have, it would need to have haste. Anyway, it does add 10 mana to your mana pool. The big thing with this is that any of those like spark double effects create an infinite loop of infinite sagas. Because you go ahead and you spark double this, and the spark double creates a non-legendary copy, you know, like becomes a non-legendary copy of it. Mm-hmm. And so you create a token that's a copy of target non-legendary enchantment you control. So the spark double enters and then it gets the first saga counter on it. And then you just create a copy of itself over and 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 over. So you create a million 6/6 flyers. And then you have to have a way to win, like, outside of that. So it's like an impact.
So here's my problem. Spark double is a red card.
Blue card.
Blue card. Okay. Then I don't have a problem.
Yeah. This is a...
like, I was thinking of Splinter Twin.
Oh. No. Yeah. Splinter Twin can't... can't do it just
because it's... No. Spark double is the correct card in the correct colors for this.
Yeah. And now we've had quite a few... cards of that type come into the format in the last 2 years. So like Spark Double was just like the original, right? Where you could create a copy of your commander, have two commanders on the field. And that was super sick. That was awesome. Right. But then there were other versions of that ability in Doctor Who, and we had a couple sorceries that just create a token copy of target, like, legendary creature you control, but it's not legendary. So there are a plethora of effects that now allow you to do it. So this deck, what it wants to do is land Terra and then sort of control until you get to six mana. And then once you activate, you do still have like a couple turns to get that spark double effect to land. But yeah, the idea is to create a copy of Esper Terra and then have infinite, like basically infinite 6/6 flyers. So it's, yeah, well, here's the thing is that Tyler was nice enough to leave us a little deck list in the Discord, in the Discord server. So I'll go ahead and open that up right now and just sort of see what direction it's going. So he named it Terrifying Possibilities. And it's five color good stuff. I'm looking at the list right now. I have no idea where it's where it's trying to go. It is a five.
Tyler, color. Mention what you're trying to do. Write a primer.
Oh my god. I don't know what it's doing. It is five color good stuff, it seems. Maybe that's all it ever needs to be, right? Like maybe that's all a commander needs to be good is be five colors and have good stuff pile interactions. It's exciting nonetheless. Everyone seems to be that is brewing it seems to be very excited. It's yeah. Here we go. Go infinite spark double baby. What's up? The next card I was going to talk about, and this one's a little bit more fun, but I'm starting to see some combos pop up with it. And this brings, this will sort of like tailor into our discussion here later on. But Noctis, Prince of Lucis. Lucis? Yeah. Should I mispronounce it on purpose? I don't know.
I don't think there's enough Final Fantasy 15 fans to cause an outrage.
Oh, there's dozens of them. But Noctis is one, a white, blue, and a black. So an Esper Human Noble 4/3 that has lifelink. And it says you may cast artifact spells from your graveyard by paying 3 life in addition to paying their other costs. If you cast a spell this way, that artifact enters with a finality counter on it. So, cool beans. That's a really strong effect, right? Well, now that people have had a second to look at it and a second to brew it, it is an Aetherflux Reservoir deck. So I love it. I like it quite a bit. But the idea is that if you have Aetherflux Reservoir out and a Mox Diamond in the graveyard, let's say you cast it from your hand, you don't have a land to pitch or you refuse to pitch land or whatever, and then it goes to the graveyard, right? It doesn't hit the field. It doesn't hit the battlefield. So you cast it, goes to the graveyard, right? You get your Aetherflux Reservoir trigger, you gain life. Now you can cast artifact spells from your graveyard by paying an additional three life in addition, you know, to their other costs as well. So cast the Mox Diamond again. Now you gain 2 life from the Aetherflux Reservoir. You do not pitch a land. It goes back to the graveyard. Never lands with a finality counter on it. Never gets exiled. So keep doing that over and over again until you're net positive on life. Gain infinite life. Shoot the table to death. So that was an interesting loop. I think that there is plenty to be said about, like, this is, you know, Aetherflux Reservoir being an effective win condition in Commander. It has been for such a long time, and gaining infinite life has just not been something that's been tied to a combo with the Commander in tow, or like. And I think that this sort of like helps smooth that gap where it's a in conjunction with your commander is just 2 cards away. And it could be in this deck. You can also play Chalice of the Void, and then name whatever artifact you're going to, or whatever, just cast it for zero, right? And then any artifact you cast for zero from your graveyard with this effect will result in the same thing with Aetherflux. So Mox Diamond works super efficiently, super effective, right? But now you can run donuts on donuts on donuts in a deck that cares about putting artifacts into the graveyard and then controls the game through other elements and assembling the combo with Aetherflux Reservoir, either through like reanimating it or whatever. I feel like this has legs. This feels very similar to me to like Shalai and Halar, where there are a couple 2-card combos with your commander that this and Aetherflux Reservoir kind of go hand in hand. It doesn't have the same options, but I really do like it. This looks like a lot of fun. How do you feel about it, Flash? The Esper colors speaking to you now that you got a potentially an
Aether, Aetherflux? I that looks like a fun commander. Are there other potential loot besides Aetherflux Reservoir that people are looking at?
I think you can go. So for this deck, I think that's where it stops.
That's just the most efficient.
Exactly.
So that's what people have landed on.
Yeah, but I think you can tie it in conjunction to other combos. Like you can also use Bolas of Citadel to great effect, you know, and assemble combos that way. Things like Sensei's Divining Top and then artifact reduction spells and stuff like that to, you know, create those loops. I think that all those possibilities exist within this color pie that could make it ineffective little machine here. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You could play Oswald Fiddlebender as well as sort of like an artifact pod secondary commander. Get into some of your combos a little easier. It's cool. The more I think about it, the more it sort of like opens up and the deck list sort of builds itself once you throw all the good stuff in, like tutors and Rhystic Studies and all that stuff. The deck pretty much gets filled out with tons of card draw and interaction, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, my combos are just assembling themselves as I draw a million cards. So yeah, this one's really cool. I wonder if the Final Fantasy 15 fans will be satisfied. That's one thing I will say with this set is
I hope their fans are happy.
Yeah, with how many Final Fantasy games there are, it is
by my count at least 16,
at least, but it is near impossible to satisfy every single fan base that you know is out there. Like I don't know many people who've played Final Fantasy 2 or Final Fantasy 3, you know. I think the most well known is Final
Fantasy. I have played 3.
Yeah. Like I have played 3. I never finished 3, but I have played 3. And it's like it was a Super Nintendo game. You know, it's like there aren't many Magic players out there that, you know, or at least I don't know. We're realizing that we're getting old. It's happening every day a little bit more. But then, you know, like Final Fantasy VII is another game that is incredibly well known. That's getting a lot of characters. And then Final Fantasy X, getting a ton of
Which is the one I put the most hours into, probably.
Yeah, I think so for me, too. I really enjoyed 10. I beat it way, 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 way back in the day. And now, here's the thing. I beat it way back in the day, had no idea that Ultimate Weapons existed. I decided to pick it up last year, and I played all the way up. And I don't know why I wasn't as smart as I was when I was a kid. But I just boxed myself into this corner, and now I'm right before the Sin fight, and I get wiped every time. Every time I enter the fight, I get wiped right away. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just you just get dumber when you get older. That's what happens. But I wish I'd gone and dodged lightning 200 times in a row out in the lightning field to get an ultimate weapon for Waka. I really wish.
I believe that was Luna's ultimate weapon.
Damn it. Where's Waka's weapon? I want Waka's.
Waka's
weapon
was connected to Blitz.
Was it?
I think Waka's was connected to Blitzball.
Yeah, that would make sense since his weapon is literally
not 100% sure, but
his weapon is literally a Blitzball, so that makes a lot of sense. Which again, another impossible game to play, it seems. Whenever I play Blitzball, I'm like, I'm lost, bro. I'm like, I do not know how to pass the ball. I'm clown shoes. I am clown shoes. All right. Moving on. There's one more card that we should talk about. It is Grixis. It is a mythic. It is Kefka, Court Mage. This is 2BB and a RED for a human wizard 4/5. This is a villain from one of the games. I'm not sure which. But whenever Kefka enters or attacks, each player discards a card. Then you draw a card for each card type among cards discarded this way. So notably, you're not going to know. No player should know what each other player is discarding. And so like there's no way to like really limit the number of cards you're allowing the Kefka controller to draw. But in CDH, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion. Like, I will discard this artifact. Can you guys discard an artifact? Can you discard an artifact? We want to limit the card draw as much as possible. I think this is a really interesting design space. And for 5 mana, very realistic. I think this could be one of the more fun Grixis builds if you're at trying to be kooky in CDH. Now you have, for 8 mana, 8 colorless mana, each opponent sacrifices a permanent of their choice, and then you transform Kefka. Now, this is where things get interesting. You have Kefka, Ruler of Ruin. So when you flip it, it's a 5/7 flyer that says whenever an opponent loses life during your turn, you draw that many cards. Yeah. What? That's crazy. It has tons. By the way, this card has tons of amazing artworks as well. It's beautiful. This is a really fun design space, and I think it's one of those like walk on the tightrope type of commanders, because whenever an opponent loses life during your turn, you draw that many cards is not optional, or it's not like a May ability. You draw those cards. And so going for Thassa's Oracle, not really an option, just due to how easy it is to maybe like, I don't know, tap a City of Brass, or I don't know, tap a Mana Confluence and force the draw. So yeah, really cool design space. I think Kefka is a very interesting commander that I would be excited to see at CDH tables. Deny your opponent's resources, generate tons of card draw, maybe never even transform it. Maybe just never transform it and just keep flickering it or keep attacking with it, and then just keep forcing tons of discard and drawing a ton of cards off of it. It's going to replace itself at the very, it's going to replace the discard that you make at the very least. So even if everyone discards a land, it replaces your discard. I think it's really cool. All right.
It is design space worth exploring.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we were talking before the pod thing that this set seems really pushed. But pushed in interesting ways.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, I still don't quite agree with where we're at with Magic as a product. Like, I'm not a big fan of like dropping Final Fantasy, dropping Spider-Man into Standard, which is, you know, been exclusively reserved for Magic IPs in the past. You know, and now we're looking at, yeah, we're looking at Final Fantasy being a part of, being on equal footing with Chandra, being on equal footing with, you know, the characters from Magic's lore that we love, and whether they're new characters.
I don't know. For me, kind of, I feel kind of like it's on par with Lord of the Rings, where it's just like, this is an IP that does make sense, at least.
This one,
like, you can give it that much.
Yes, I will say this does translate well. Like, over, you know, like, out of all of the, like, sets and set releases and stuff like that, that the Universe is Beyond, cards that translate really well. There are, you know, like, yes, the Lord of the Rings one, that was masterclass. Beautiful work. Nice work, Wizards of the Coast. And then I will say that the Street Fighter Secret Lair, those cards were masterfully designed. They fit the characters and they weren't overpowered. They were really fun, unique design space. Even Deadpool. Deadpool is making waves right now as a, like, as a card in CDH and CISA builds. And then also just as a real, it's just a really fun design space that doesn't break anything. That I, you know, is pretty unique and cool. Another really well designed card. And then this, all of, like, I can't say all of these cards translate really, really well, but the ones that stand out, like Lightning, Army of One, Noctis, Kefka, Terra, Vivi, even Yuna, Hope of Spira, like, these are all cards that are translating really, really well, are showcasing a ton of power, and kind of like are adding to what they do is they add to design and design space that was existing and reinforces that. So like Yuna is a enchantment creature supporter, you know, so which I might, you know, I might find space for Yuna in a CDH deck just to see if it works. But, you know, it's like that's the kind of power we're dealing with is it, for niche builds, for creative types. The Final Fantasy cards are actually bringing quite a bit of life to the game and a lot of color. The artwork, all the artwork is beautiful. So, yeah, I can't really say outside of just sort of being disappointed that they weren't able to create enough interest in their own IP that they had to reach out and bring others in. You know, like that everything else is well designed. That the Magic card format, turning things into Magic cards and everything that they're doing is turning out to be a successful venture. Things are translating fine. They're even making a Chocobo tribal, you know, like bird kindred bird deck. And then like favorite characters like Jekt from Final Fantasy X is getting a card that I, you know, and I love what it does. I'm not so upset or mad, but
there are more upsetting things in the game.
Yes. Yes. But we're on the positive
streak. Than Final Fantasy.
We're on a positive streak here, and that's where we're gonna stay. A quick intermission here before we get into our next discussion. But I was at Grocery Outlet this week, and you would never believe what I saw. I was checking out. I was buying some garden ornaments for my cat's patio experience, and I was at the checkout, and on the shelf was Jack Link's Dr. Pepper beef jerky. So I had to get some. I had to buy it. And so on the show today, I'm going to pop it open. We're going to give this baby a shot. Flash, have you seen this product on the shelves yet?
I haven't, although I feel that I knew in my soul it exists. It seems like a good pairing.
It's not the worst pairing in the world. I'll tell you that right now. It definitely, so here's the thing. We've been reviewing Dr. Pepper products on this show for the last few weeks. We got Flash giving us a review of the Dr. Pepper Peeps, which were crazy. Those were crazy. Because I tried them too. It's like, you know, like in Willy Wonka, you know, when Violet's chewing on the Thanksgiving dinner bubblegum or whatever. She's like, oh, it's blueberry pie. You know, like that's exactly what like eating a Dr. Pepper Peep is like, because you're just like, wow, am I drinking a can of Dr. Pepper right now? That's some Willy Wonka shit. The Jelly Bellies, very similar. Super powerful, very potent, match the flavor. This beef jerky, as soon as you taste it, you're like, oh, what? And then you kind of get that like Dr. Pepper. You're like, oh, I'm about to get into something here. And then the Dr. Pepper flavor fades, and then the beef jerky just comes in and says, I'm beef jerky. Hello, this is Jack Lynx. And then it loses all of it. So I will say, out of all the Dr. Pepper products that I've tried, this one is like the least Dr. Peppery, even though it still has like a small hint of it. I'm not like achieving limitless status by chewing a bag of Dr. Pepper Jack Lynx. You know, like Bradley Cooper doesn't eat this to, you know, work the stock market.
He might eat it just because he wants the protein, but it's not for the Dr. Pepper or the limitless pill.
Right. Yep. Not for the limitless pill activation. He's not you're not going to expand your neural pathways as much with this product as you would with the Dr. Pepper Peeps or the Dr. Pepper Jelly Bellies. So the journey continues to find all crossover Dr. Pepper food products. Super stoked to keep. If you have seen any out there and we have not tried them, make sure you let us know in the comments what they are, where they are, and if you want to send it to us in the mail, I'm open to that possibility. It's a little suspicious. I'm not like one to receive food in the mail from strangers and eat it on camera, but I will for you.
Yeah, for sure, only prepackaged things.
Yes. Yeah. If you send me some like Dr. Pepper brownies that you made at home, I'm going to have a hard time not wanting to try them. But I, for the sake of my own health, I might have to abstain. All right. This week, won't be the longest discussion in the world, but I think it's important to note that as we continue to talk about mid-range, that so many more things, so many more combos, so many more cards become relevant because the game has slowed down so much. There are just combos that have existed in for a long time in Magic's history that now come back to light, that you can find a gap with, that you can continue to play and put up wins with. So that we talked earlier with Noctis, something, you know, like with Aetherflux Reservoir. So there are plenty of ways to gain infinite life in Commander with, you know, like through infinite ETBs, like, or activated abilities that allow you to just push it to the limit, right? And then you can just zap everybody down with the Aetherflux Reservoir. It's sort of like the outlet for that. Or casting, like, that's the other thing with Aetherflux. You can cast Storm off and then gain that life that way and then use it. Use it to win the game. Like, there are a few other combos that I really like that I think have some unique room to play. And the first one I want to talk about is Heliod and Walking Ballista. Now, this is something where the CDH community has not necessarily written this off as like a viable combo, but, you know, Walking Ballista has definitely taken a back seat in a lot of decks, or has gotten, you know, been on the chopping block just because. And I think there's this notion that if you have Walking Ballista in your list, you haven't put enough thought into your list. Like, that is just the most, like, you have
infinite. It's kind of like a beginner combo. It has that stigma.
Right. Like, or like, Walking Ballista is going to be, you know, that slot can be used for a card that does more and isn't just an outlet. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where, like, I think it loses traction with a lot of players. Is like, oh, I could include something that does more in my list. And, you know, and then that also helps me win the game. Like, for instance, in Rocco that we talked about a few weeks ago, was that Walking Ballista is coming out of all the Rocco lists and Terror of the Peaks is going in. Because you can win the game through Terror of the Peaks in the same way that you can win the game with Walking Ballista. It's just like, you don't need an additional card. Like, cutting Walking Ballista allowed you to cut, you know, like the reanimation or the, like, or the Eternal Witness, right? So you would.
Yeah, you got to cut a whole package.
Exactly. And that opens up room for more efficient ways to achieve wins, or more efficient ways to get to food chain, or more efficient ways to get to this and this and that. So in certain decks, the Heliod Walking Ballista combo is just flat out not your most efficient route, right? And this is where the discussion begins. Like, is it the most efficient way? Oftentimes, no, because you're gonna have to play a lesser known commander, a less efficient commander, or this is more of like a pet commander combo that you can put together that ultimately helps you win the game. Like, I think that you could put it together even in Noctis, because you can cast Walking Ballista from your graveyard in addition to paying 3 life. So, like, you could assemble the Heliod combo, and then your commander gets Heliod, or gets the Walking Ballista out of the graveyard. There's some, you know, line with that, you know, that could be. Now, in the past, it's always just kind of been like this side mission. Like, I have Ballista in my, you know, like, I have Ballista in my Helga build, right? As like something I can feed infinite mana into and win the game. And then I also include Heliod in there for other synergies. But if I walk into the two, you know, or happen to draw into both of them at the same time, and then I'm just like, oh, okay, 1+2 is win condition. So you almost have to be clever with it. But I do believe that it is just as effective as it used to be. And that's why, like, I almost talked myself out of it, being like, is this worthwhile? Is it efficient enough? It is efficient enough. It is absolutely a 2-card combos. Relatively efficient, I would say, right? So I do think that if you are able to have the two pieces generate value in an alternate way, like, or like generate value in addition outside of what they normally do together, then it becomes a viable combo. And in mid-range, you're going to have the time to set that up, or to generate card draw enough to give yourself a higher percentage chance of running into combos like that. Now, food chain is another, I think, combo line that is sort of fallen out of favor. Like, and it hasn't gotten less efficient. If anything, we've gotten a little bit
because of the Dockside ban.
Yeah, you know, or like it. Yeah, because we've lost access to Dockside and Jeweled Lotus, like the number one food chain deck out there in Rocco, lost a little bit of gas. Now, that means every other deck lost gas and blah, 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 blah. Now we're all adapting, we're all adjusting, and we can all come back and realize that, like, hey, food chain still wins games. When, you know, whatever it is you're doing, like, food chain can still win games through things like Terror of the Peaks, right, so to speak.
Hey, a card we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing are like, there are also like tons of combos. Like, I think back in the day, Flash used to run the Reality Chip with was Sensei's Divining Top combos.
Right. Yes, and so then Etherflux Reservoir would ultimately be the outlet a lot of the time, and you have, you know, your artifact cost reducers, and yeah.
I mean, if anything in today's game, you could use the updated the additional injection of power and efficiency that's been put into the game over the last couple of years, just updating that deck and then playing to your outs. I still think that assembling those combos would happen given the right windows, mm-hmm. right? You can still run.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a fun deck to play at the time. It's just kind of boring in a 4-player game being stuck in mono blue playing hard control.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, hard control is hard to pull off in Commander. Because, do you have enough counter spells for everything?
Right. Yeah. Or do you just have to, you do have to concede certain strategies or just be like, yep, you're good. Know when to stick your finger in because you're trying to be responsible for three other players by playing hard control. But I do think that assembling the combo could still be very effective. Now, there's a deck that even my brother ran back in the day, Joyra, the Weatherlight Captain, the 2 in a red and a blue that whenever you cast a historic spell, draw a card. And there are a lot of combos with that, a lot of donuts, a lot of cost reduction and stuff like that, where these decks haven't gotten worse. We've just been shown so many shiny toys in the past few years, the stream of new cards coming into the format, coming into the game, and all this has just led to us forgetting about some of these combos that already existed back in the day. You know, I would venture, and this will be sort of the topic of...
I think shiny new toys is a good way to put it, too. Because it's just they're still viable. They never went out the meta because someone figured out a technique that posed it. It was just people just moved on to other stuff that was shinier.
Yeah. Or someone told you that it was better or that you should give it a shot. And kudos to everybody. I think that is a great way to help players learn and find what their niche strategy is, what most aligns with who they are as a player. Is to, you know, motivate them to continue looking, to continue searching. I was content with Rocco for a minute, and then someone was like, you know what, I think Shalai and Halar is more your speed. And I was like, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And here we are. Here we are. I'm now a Naya guy that does, and I win games. I win games with the deck that most aligns with my style of strategy. So, yeah, I think the message that I'm ultimately trying to send is look back. You don't always have to look forward to all these shiny new toys that we're getting in sets like Final Fantasy. They are fun. Don't get me wrong. I am stoked that we get so many shiny new toys Kid at Christmas. You know, I'm not getting 30, but I might get 2. But it's one of those things where I'm very happy that we get all these new things and that it expands our options for CDH consistently. And it's very consistent. And I do feel that Wizards of the Coast design team is more intentional with what is meant to be played in CDH. Now that, you know, more than ever, they're more conscious of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they've had a tendency over the past couple of years where they've been more focused on Commander to do different flavors of prevailing strategy.
Yeah.
To give uniqueness to a build. Hey, this is still with it. It's not, they're never going to outright print, hey, here's a more efficient way to do something that'll be good. But they'll say, hey, here's a different way to do it that is more, you can find something more attuned to your play style and still ultimately be competitive.
Yeah, like something that says, you know, whenever you deal damage to one or more players, it, you know, it's like one of those things where it puts a ceiling on it where like it can still function the way it needs to within standard or within pioneer or within modern, whatever. But then it also expands its potential into commander where things do have to be a little bit more powerful in order to make the cut. You know, and like I said, they're more intentional with the design. They're a little bit more careful with the design, except for last year, the whole Nadu thing. But like, there are tons of old commanders that are proven and still pop up from time to time. Like, you know, it's like we all know Yuriko went nowhere. You know, Yuriko is still pretty popular, still like gets plenty of reps. Those commanders are still out there. Like they're still there. They're still waiting for you to pick them back up and give them a shot. That's what I implore you to do. This next week, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite old commanders to sort of be hiding. It's sort of hiding in the shadows. It's not a very subtle.
Like Yuriko.
Yeah. Oh, nice. It's not very subtle. But it is very much slept on at the moment, and I do think it can come back. So I have been talking in the Discord server about this a little bit. Not in the Discord server, but on Discord more privately about this. But I'm excited to dive back in and reveal to you all what I've found to be still very successful. Anyway, if there are any old combos, any old cards, any old commanders like that you are still running, that you still believe have merit, that you are like you cannot be turned away from how efficient they are, but maybe they've been forgotten, make sure you let us know in the comments below or join the Discord server and make it known which combos you still love and still enjoy that may have lost a little bit of their shine, you know, to newer combos. Flash, any final thoughts on today's discussion?
No, I don't think so.
Sweet. Well, this has been the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper and Don Cheadle. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms by leaving us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool and help new people find the show. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. You can support us on Patreon, have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. I've got to get shout outs to all of our supporters. I forgot to at the top of the show. We do have our 2-liter supporters at $10 a month. We got Definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Court, and Aaron Becca. And then we also have the $5 tier, the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tiers, Maybe Anthony, KB Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. Thank you all for your support by joining either of those tiers. If you join as a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, you get one entry into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. If you join as a 2-liter supporter, you get 2 entries and double your chances of winning that one of those giveaways, which next week we'll be popping off. We'll be giving away, I'm not quite sure yet, but we'll be giving something of significant value away between $35 and $40.
Dr. Pepper Jack Links. $35 worth of Dr. Pepper Jack Links.
Let me run to the grocery outlet quick. But yeah, you can support us there on Patreon and get your ROI by winning one of our giveaways. And that's pretty much it. Did I almost forget? Oh, we have the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge. We also have Reven left hanging out, getting those Glarb hats, raking them in. Almost to the 1-year mark. Ravenlift, 1-of-1 bucket hat. I have the design in the works. Just waiting to eclipse that 1-year mark. This is going to be monumental. I think we have a Reavenlift special edition episode when that happens.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. All right. This has been the Mock Stars podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And like I said, if we missed anything, if there are any of your favorite cards from Final Fantasy that we did not talk about that you do want us to talk about, make sure you jump on the YouTube channel and leave us a comment. Thank you so much for listening. This has been, again, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, the Mock Stars podcast. And we have tokens.
Hey, I got something. I got something real quick.
Hit me.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my Servale too. Is that a Michigan J. Glar bit?
That, as we speak, it is being written. It is a beautiful, it is a beautiful bit for the Michigan J. Glarb. Jeez. Thank you for that.
All right. Now I'm done.
Now we're out. All right. Peace.
Bye.